Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So, Donald, I may have indulged a bit too much. My energy's been lagging. My belt is definitely on its last notch from all of the eating.
Well, the holidays can do that to you, buddy. It makes you reach for quick fixes that have rough and lasting effects on your gut. Good thing we have GT Synergy Raw Kombucha to get your gut back on track.
That's right. It's those billions of probiotics that whip the gut back into balance. And those are naturally occurring probiotics, not the added fake kind.
Drink GT Synergy to show your gut that you love them. Better health is as simple as making a few small changes, and incorporating GTs is an easy one.
You can learn more about GTs at gtslivingfoods.com/loveyourguts and pick up a bottle at your local grocery store in the refrigerated section.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to the Sports Grid Network.
Let it rain!
You remember the class where I taught y'all how to make it rain?
Make it rain.
Dollar, dollar bills, y'all.
All right, guys, time to get on the grid. SportsGrid.com. Let's make it rain here on this Tuesday, November the 12th, 2019, as we've got a loaded card here today. We are looking at 61 college basketball games, 8 NBA games, 9 NHL games, and 2 MAC action football games to start week 12 of the college football season, as we are getting that much closer to bowl season. And of course, the top 4 teams in the country getting ready to battle for the national championship. So good times ahead. But of course, last night, we had to round out week 10 in the NFL, and boy, that was a lot of fun watching that. That was the Monday Night Football classic, some are calling it. I called it nauseating, but it was, at times, a whole lot of fun, and that is exactly what division rivals and division football, it makes it so unique, because teams, even when you think they're out of it, they're not out of it, and that is definitely two teams that would not go away, but did everything in their power to make sure the other team would win. But when it was all said and done, there can only be one winner, thank goodness, and not a tie, because that would have been awful. And the bottom line is, yeah, Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks made enough plays to be able to get the job done. It wasn't pretty along the way. Both teams turning the ball over at just the worst times. But one thing's for sure, if you keep tempting fate and you give a guy like Russell Wilson, who's been doing this a little while here, guys, now, and I know everyone's enamored with Lamar Jackson, but when you keep giving Russell Wilson the opportunity to win a game, he's going to win the damn game. And it's exactly what he did. And nothing taking nothing away from the 49ers and that defensive effort last night. But to me, it became very clear after 9 games now that maybe, just maybe, the biggest liability for this 49ers team is their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, who, it's all fine and dandy when you're running 300 yards a game and beating up on Arizona, but Jimmy, you got to make a play when they need you. And it was like wide receiver after wide receiver overthrown. It was like there was 3 opportunities alone in the 4th and overtime where he had guys wide open, either underthrew him, overthrew him, just not good. And again, when you're going up against a rookie or you're going up with somebody not named Russell Wilson, you might be able to get away with that, but you tempted fate too much, and that's exactly what happened to him. They got burned last night, and they are celebrating here in Miami, these 100-year-olds.
Mercury Morris.
Is still undefeated, Dane. They are still undefeated, and the only one in the NFL. There are no more undefeated teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Morning, Joe. Good morning, Degenerates. Make it rain. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. Listen, I thought that was a good game, Joe. I thought it was a fun game back and forth. It was definitely exciting to watch. Fantasy players left and right were lamenting, oh, no, now we have overtime. Mm-hmm. I got to show you a game of inches from a league that I was in impacting our guy, the closer, Chris Ventra, a little bit later on. But listen, I agree with most of what you said, Joe. All right, Russell Wilson continues to make plays. We were talking about him as an MVP candidate. You can't just give him that opportunity. And I don't know if you saw it, Joe, but Russell was more animated than I've seen him on the sidelines in a long time, bringing the players over, hyping them up, talking smack. I also thought, listen, Joe, we didn't see it a lot, but he used Josh Gordon on a couple of key third down conversions when he knew he needed it to go to a real wide receiver, and boom, and they convert that. On the San Francisco side, Joe, you're right. The run game didn't show up, even though Staley and Juszczyk were back. And Jimmy G, you know, Booger a few times was like, oh, everybody wants to see this. Can Jimmy G do it? But what also happened, Joe, was there were like four or five drops from wide receivers. That one of the picks like literally went off Bourne's hands. So yes, he did overthrow some. And to be quite honest, in that last series on the fourth quarter, he looked shook. All right. He looked like the moment was getting to him. It looked like Phillip Rivers on Thursday Night Football in the last drive, just, you know, kind of a little scatterbrained. But wide receivers didn't help him out at a lot of points during that game, Joe. And to be honest, even though Seattle won this game, I'm not that mad if I'm a San Francisco fan, because you got to figure when you see him again, you'll have George Kittle and you'll have Manny Sanders. And maybe that helps the passing game a little bit. Maybe that gives Jimmy G a little bit more security and confidence.
Yeah, but, you know, you can't have your seventh and eighth lost fumble of the season in a game like this either. And that's the problem with him. He underthrew Deebo Samuel in overtime, which was just horrific, because that's game over. He had plenty of opportunities in this game to be able to pull away from Seattle, and that's ultimately what happened. They could not get away from Seattle.
Like, there were some drops, though, Joe. There were definitely some drops.
But listen, there's going to be drops in any game. The question is, what are you going to do when the moment on the spotlight, you have an opportunity to make a play for your team, and that's what they're looking to you. We still have not seen that from Garoppolo. I know we associate him with being in a league for 1,000 years, guys.
Right.
But the reality is, yeah, he was in a league a long time from, you know, backing up Brady, but he hasn't been a starter. And then when we did get him as a starter, it was halfway through the year. Then he gets hurt halfway through the year. So we've never really seen him do this. And I think this is kind of the first opportunity this year where it wasn't the 300-yard rushing game. They needed Jimmy Garoppolo to make some plays, and he just didn't do it. So I do think it's a learning experience for him. I also have no idea what the hell Kyle Shanahan was thinking, getting the ball back in overtime with just under 2 minutes, and you run Seattle's got no timeouts, and you run three pass plays and go three and out and give the ball back to, like, what the hell? And his answer was, and I get it, I'm expecting them to complete a pass. I get it. And yes, they're pros. You're expecting them to complete the pass. But he hadn't completed a whole lot of passes all night. He was having trouble doing it. So you run the damn ball. That's what you are. You basically, instead of giving them no chance of getting back in the game, you gave the ball back. You ran off 25 seconds on the clock in three pass plays and gave it back to Russell Wilson to beat you. That's what you did, ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that is true, and it was weird. It seemed like there were multiple three and outs with like 3 minutes left to go in overtime. You know, I was like, oh, wait a second. Maybe this will be a tie. You know, but you can almost cherry pick, right? Because I say wide receiver drops, you say missed targets. What if the San Francisco field goal kicker hits the 40-something yarder in overtime and they do win right after Russell Wilson throws an interception? What's the narrative then? Maybe it's a little different.
Yeah, but even after that, still had a chance to win, and you didn't.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/best bets.
Salesforce presents a mini meditation. Close your eyes and let your video conference calls fade away. Ignore the voices drifting from your laptop. Forget how your chin looks from this angle. And focus on what really matters, your customer. On your path to customer success, focus your teams with a single 360-degree view of your customer with Salesforce Customer 360. Find customer focus at salesforce.com/360.
So you got a whole lot of errors in games last night there and on Monday night, turnovers and special teams gaffes. And can I tell you something? Still one of the most entertaining games of the season. Wasn't pretty from an X's and O's standpoint, but, you know, anytime you have the following day a whole list of things that could have, should have, would have, but didn't, and ultimately you went down to 60 seconds left in overtime, that's a pretty entertaining game. And it wasn't like 6-3. There was actually some points scored here. You had one team dominate the first three quarters, then the other team comes back, and it was a whole lot of fun. You had the whole thing prior to the first half, I think, was exactly what was going to make this game. You just had a feeling in the second half this was going to get crazy when, you know, one of the biggest, strongest wide receivers we've ever seen in DK Metcalf, right, gets somehow yanked. Stays in bounds along the sidelines and then still manages to get the ball ripped out of his hands prior to him going into the end zone. Yeah. That just told you everything you need to know about the NFC West and what that second half was going to be like, because that's the kind of back and forth we had all night. And kudos to, Seattle's defense, who, you know, had been gashed a lot over the last couple of weeks there, especially in the passing game. But they committed to stopping the run, and they were going to force Jimmy Garoppolo to beat them. And it worked for a long time until their offense was able to get it up and going. They played out. I mean, that Seattle secondary, Griffin and others, man, that's the first time I've really seen that defense go up like that, especially because usually they're giving up 300 yards a game passing. I mean, they've been getting torched, but, man, they showed up last night. Give credit to that defense for on the road in a divisional game showing up last night and keeping that game in reach.
Yeah, the DK Metcalf play was ridiculous on a number of levels, Joe. I thought there were so many things to check on that play when they did the replay. Like, did DK Metcalf step out of bounds was one. Did the guy who stripped it, he was out of bounds. Did he reestablish? You know, was it a fumble? And then if it was a fumble, should it be marked, you know, kind of on the 1 or 2 yard line like it was, or as a touchback back at the 20 if the guy actually got the fumble in the end zone? An amazing play. There were a few of them. I actually thought the Russell Wilson interception in overtime, I thought the game was over. I thought he had Hollister on the wheel route. You know, there was a great play by the linebacker there to pick that off and, you know, kind of return it as well. What I think is interesting, because you said it was working, right? The Seattle approach was working against Jimmy G. I'm reminded of what we've said all the times. You know how, like, New England would make a team play left-handed, and we even asked Lorenzo Neal. We started talking about the Niners because they were able to do it left-handed or right-handed with their run game or throwing the ball, and that didn't happen last night, right? It's like it's almost like the Seahawks, in my opinion, decided to take away their right hand, sell out on the run. And that definitely happened. I mean, Breida didn't do much. Coleman only 40 yards. Even Raheem Mostert got a little bit of play, like in overtime. But this was not the running attack that we have seen in the past, right? But I really do believe, Joe, that injury took away San Francisco's left hand. It's big to not have Kittle and Manny Sanders for the majority of the game. And I just do believe that it would look a little bit different. The last thing, Joe, you talk about the trade impacts last week or yesterday, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick and Marcus Peters and Kenyon Drake. And we talked about Manny Sanders. What about Jadeveon Clowney, Joe? He was all over the field, walking McGlinchey back, forcing fumbles, pressure on Jimmy G. A lot of what you're saying, like Jimmy G couldn't do it, a lot of that was because Clowney was coming down on his ass half the time.
Yeah, no, Clowney was impactful. You're not going to see it in the stat line, but if you watch that game, obviously the scoop and touchdown was one thing. But, you know, again, this was another one of these situations yesterday where Jimmy G fumbles the ball again, like this is eighth one of the season, and Clowney returns it for a touchdown. But then, you know, in the fourth quarter, you got a situation where Seattle's up 21-10. They've got this game. They've seized control of it. Russell Wilson does some sort of, you know, loses the ball. It pops into an offensive lineman's hands. And for some reason, that offensive lineman thought he was Jerome Bettis and was going to somehow run the ball and advance it. Only, of course, it gets knocked out of the offensive lineman's hands and right into DeForest Buckner's hands, who then takes it in and returns the defensive touchdown. It was that kind of night where every time one of these teams had the opportunity to take that next step and kind of pull away, something like that happened. You turn some stupid play. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, both of these teams were like, I don't want to win it. You win it. No, you win it. I'll win. Sure? All right. No, do you want to win it? I'm going to win it. It was like, how many of these plays are we going to have in one game?
Yeah, I mean, and also I always look to things like sacks, penalties, turnovers, right? When you talk about a sloppy game. And listen, both quarterbacks were sacked five times. Seattle, who won the game, had 9 penalties for 75 yards. You talk about all the fumbles. Jimmy G fumbled a few times. But listen, Seattle lost 3 fumbles in this game as well. So it was interesting. But I don't know if I consider it because, like, both teams were sloppy or the team on the other side was bringing the intensity and forcing mistakes. You know, you could look at it one way or the other. I kind of look at it, Joe, like it was a good game with two good teams playing. You know, yeah, there were some mistakes, but I think a lot of these mistakes were forced by the opposition. And honestly, Joe, this NFC now has a number of legit contenders. If you look at it, like the NFC playoff race, you go 4, 5, maybe even 6 teams with people that you're like, oh yeah, they, I could see them actually taking down the NFC. Meanwhile, in the AFC, in my opinion, it's, you know, New England, and then can 3 of these young upstart quarterbacks upset the apple cart? Like, will Lamar do it? Will Mahomes do it? Will Watson do it? That's the only chance, right? One of those 3 superhumans to knock off New England. But in the NFC, you got Seattle and San Francisco. I think you got 2, 3, 4 other teams that can be in a kind of knockdown, drag out, fun game with these two.
Turnovers kill me. And there's no excuse for turnovers. I don't care who you played 85 Bears. The one thing that every football player is taught is hold on to the damn football. There's no reason to be getting the ball pulled out in the end zone. There's no reason, and he doesn't ever do it, which was what was so mind-blowing. The fact that he threw a red zone interception in overtime into double coverage was beyond me that he even bothered to throw that ball. I'm shocked that he did, to tell you the truth.
He didn't see the lineup.
And he was able to recover. But, you know, it's those kinds of mental mistakes in a game like last night where get him out now, because that kind of crap in the playoffs, That's the difference between going home early or continuing to battle through and try to make yourself a Super Bowl champion. But, you know, seasons aren't won or lost in week 10 of an NFL season, and these two teams are going to be fine. They will meet again. But, yeah, there's got to be some cleanup on both sides of the ball, and both teams got to get a little healthier. And, by the way, congratulations on picking up. Nobody else wanted Josh Gordon. Well, it's a good damn thing they got him, because Tyler Lockett spent the night in a hospital as he was rushed there in the fourth quarter because of a serious leg contusion. He wasn't even in that game at the end. And thank goodness they had another, wow, look at that, Josh Gordon to go to instead of Tyler Lockett, who they were obviously pretty worried about his leg injury there because they rushed his ass to the hospital during the game. So no word on whether he's still there or not last I saw. But again, you make a move here in the NFL, and a move that almost you never get a Josh Gordon available in week 9. And then you pick him up after 25 other teams, you know, passed on him, and voila, in the overtime, in the fourth quarter in overtime, he's there for you. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about this year, where some teams, everything they touch are just, it's turning to gold, Dane. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, big time third down conversions from Josh Gordon, you know, on slants, looking easy. That's the thing where chemistry will only build, much like Jimmy G and Manny Sanders, you got to think, over time. I know he made some mistakes. I still trust Russell Wilson when the chips are down, though.
Yeah, well, he showed you why he is who he is there, and he's been doing that forever. We just haven't paid all that much attention to him, though, because Tom Brady's still playing. All right, more on the upcoming games tonight.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat, folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taryn Killam, and Carrie Brownstein, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right, the nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, Rise and Grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light, the only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
On your NBA DFS competition this year using DailyRoto.com. You can compete with the pros on FanDuel and DraftKings with the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. It's the most accurate projections in NBA DFS. Plus, you get lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. You can save 10% now on that winning NBA DFS advice with the promo code DUNK. Visit dailyroto.com/dunk to learn more. That's dailyroto.com/dunk. Get your 10% off now. And keep in mind that dailyroto.com is where millionaires are made. And also, want to invite you guys to find us on YouTube at Sports Grid Network. All the fantasy and sports wagering all the time. So you have an edge on Instagram as well at Sports Grid TV. And it's an interesting close to a week 10 in the NFL that watched, once again, underdogs dominate. 9-3-1 against the number in week 10. 8 straight up upsets. Oakland, Tennessee, the Jets, Atlanta, Miami, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, and oh yeah, the Seattle Seahawks, who closed as a 6.5-point dog on the road yesterday, +205 on the money line. Tough beat for those of you that might have had the full game over 47. That went away once Chase McLaughlin hit that tying 47-yard field goal with 1 second left on the clock, then only to miss the field goal in overtime of pretty much the same length there. But if you had the first half under, you were happy to see the 23.5 go under due to the fact of, DJ Metcalf, a dude that's absolutely ripped. Yeah, well, he got the ball ripped out of there. No touchdown. Under hits in the first half. Full game goes over. 6.5 points. And, guys, the dogs are just killing it this year. Again, 83-61-3 against the number. That is underdogs this year. That's a 56% clip. That is absurd, guys. That is absolutely absurd. I just don't, to me, Dane, it's you got to be looking at these away games or these dogs each and every week. And it's almost to the point where after 10 weeks, you're going, what are the books missing here? Like, what is happening with the undervaluing? It's amazing to me that we've just played 10 weeks and we've got underdogs above 55% cashing in a season. And it's happening consistently, not where they made them all in the first 3 weeks of the season. Like, here we are week 10, and we are still seeing underdogs winning straight up in situations where something's amiss here. Like, what's going on with the odds makers that they still have not, after 10 weeks, been able to figure out what teams are what? They're not giving – I don't know if there's because there's so many crap teams this year that they're having a hard time figuring out where the middle is on these games. But make no mistake, very, very profitable being a contrarian better through 10 weeks in the NFL season.
So, Joe, remember how in the baseball season we were talking about how offense and home runs were spiking at a ridiculous rate, and that how when we were looking at Major League Baseball totals, you know, we were saying like, oh, what we used to see a 6.5, we now see a 7.5. But there was a middle point in there in the middle of the season where we were able to just play overs, right? And we were hitting a lot. We were like, oh, maybe they haven't adjusted yet, right? And that was the baseball kind of trend. I think you might be right. I have a lot of ideas in my head, and I want to see if they work for you, what you buy most. You know, because, Joe, we've been talking about how parity is either still in the NFL or is leaving the NFL, right? And I remember also you talked to me about these big double-digit favorites that are happening more and more, and that they are covering those numbers. So maybe the books get that there's some really, really bad teams and some high-quality teams, but maybe it's that middle group, that middle tier of teams that now the book is undervaluing, and then their points are enough. You know, when they're getting points, they're enough. I'd be interested to see, when you say 56% of the dogs cover, I'd be interested to see what the breakdown is, Joe, of like if it's more than a touchdown or if it's less than a touchdown. Because those huge spreads we've been talking about, that's where it's against the bottom dwellers, right? And these teams have been really bad. The Cincy's, the Miami's, the Jets, the Falcons, right? I wonder if you're having a matchup of teams that are in the power ratings, kind of teams like, you know, 6 through 23, if it's mostly those, and when spreads are under a touchdown, because Gabe is talking about point spreads don't matter. We talk about how more teams are tanking, and I think it has something to do with parity in the NFL, or the lack thereof, that's leading to these dogs being so profitable.
Well, you had 8 straight upsets this week, all right? And only 2 of them were of the double-digit kind, Miami and Atlanta. Everything else, was within a touchdown across the board. And again, these are games where it's like, and I think even this week, the look ahead lines, guys, for week 11, if you've had a chance to look, are a ridiculous amount of 5 and 5.5s on the board here this week. And no that is no man's land. And I think that's the books going, all right, so 5, 4.5, 5, 5.5 is basically the books going, they're not better than them by a field goal, but they're still not good enough to win by a touchdown. So what they're telling you is they don't even know. Like, they honestly have no idea. And it's crazy because outside of, you know, the Jets and Giants, well, the Giants were favored. Why? I mean, it should have been closer to a pick'em game. There was no home field advantage. Were the Raiders that much less than what the LA Chargers are? You know, you look at these games and you're going, there's a lot more bad numbers this year than we've seen before. And I've never seen, I mean, there's 5 games on the card here this week, guys, where you're going to have between 4.5 and 5.5, which is absolute dead man's land from a betting perspective. And I think it's because they just don't know at this point. Honestly, try to figure it out. You got a game Thursday night here, Cleveland taking on Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Now, this game is in Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken.
It is.
So what in the world? So what? They're not a 3-point favorite. They're a 2.5-point favorite. Should they be more with Mason Rudolph? They just beat Buffalo, a 6-2 team, and yet we're not even seeing a field goal advantage there at this particular game right now.
Yeah, so this is saying, right, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but this is saying that Pittsburgh is a 0.5 point better on a neutral field.
It's
right?
Crazy. It's are they?
I don't know. This is a team we've been talking about that's won a few in a row, maybe Mason Rudolph, and like you're all of a sudden with that one win against Buffalo, you're ready to go back to Cleveland, Joe?
No. What I'm saying is, honestly, when they at all, are they? I don't know. I mean, that's the whole thing I'm asking because I honestly don't know with Mason Rudolph and company. Listen, the Rams, I know what their deficiencies are, and it's all about matchups, right? Being at home. But on a neutral field, are they winning that game without scoring a whole lot of offensive points? It's tough.
That's a tough one, and we always talk about these divisional matchups and stuff.
Right.
One piece of info, James Conner should be back. They're expecting him back in that game. That's, you know, 48 hours from now. He practiced in full yesterday. But I hear you. I'm intrigued by a few of these games that are in this kind of no man's land, Joe, you know, and like maybe we should go through them and see which way we're leaning because the book doesn't know. I mean, and there's some big ones, Joe. Houston-Baltimore. Yeah. That's a big one. New Orleans-Tampa, that's one of those divisional ones, the home dogs, you know, Drew Brees out in grass. You know, I think, and Monday night in Mexico City is another one, Chargers-Chiefs.
Yep.
You know, what do you believe in? So I think there's a few interesting ones. I hear you on the no man's land.
Yeah,
maybe that's
because there really are some questions. If you try to read into what the opening lines are, you're going, are they really neutral? I mean, on a neutral field, is that one team better than the other? But so they're better than a field goal, but they're not good enough to be a touchdown. That's like a kiss of death. So you know what it is? This, I think week 11 is going to be one of those situations where suck it up, guys, and go. Your money line might be coming into play a lot more this week because just figure out who's going to win the game. Forget about trying to figure out a 4.5 to 5.5 spread and which team is better. Because like you said, divisional matchups. Thursday night, guys, Pittsburgh.
There's a bunch of them.
Cleveland without Ben Roethlisberger. With Ben Roethlisberger, we know what that has been in the past. But it's a new Pittsburgh. It's a new, I don't know. I'd struggle to figure out some of these divisional matchups going forward. And are they going to overvalue or undervalue some of these teams in these matchups this week, Dane? It's going to be real interesting. I think it's going to be one of the hardest weeks on the board this year because of the idea that the books just are not, they themselves are completely miffed. Just look at the numbers, 56, 57% of underdogs through 10 weeks. Guys, it almost never happens.
Yeah, that's true. I would be interested to know, like you said, if we could run the numbers on if dogs are better when they're, you know, 6 or less or if it's the big number. The other thing that comes into my mind on this, and this is something that I know you and me, Blewett, Gabe, we've all been talking about this year. Joe, do you think there's really a difference these days, quite frankly, because the kicking game is so piss poor? You know, does that have any impact on things? Like, there's been so many missed extra points. We talk about almost now is like six almost the key number instead of seven. There's teams going for two at a bigger rate. Does that just throw the formulas off? I know that we're talking about a point here, a point there, and maybe not up against a five-point spread, but it does impact the way teams play the game. I'm reminded of Indy Miami. You know, Vinatieri misses the extra point, then they're down four instead of down three for half of the fourth quarter, you know? And we've seen it far and wide in the NFL, missed extra points and going for two and these kind of decisions, going for it on fourth down. These are decisions that coaches were not making. These are results people were not getting 5 years ago. I wonder if that has started to mess with the formulas out there of setting lines also.
It was a couple of weeks ago, but I had seen a stat where there was no big anomaly as far as more either extra points or field goals missed than there were in years past. So it's not like it's a glaring number where we're 20% above what we were last year. I tend to think those things all even up because it's the same damn kickers. It's always the same kickers.
But it's not the same line all the time.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
I want people to think about the healthcare workers. You know, we can say, I'll take the risk, I'll get on a plane and go see my family for Thanksgiving because that's important to me. I'll take the risk. If I get sick, it'll be fine. The problem with that is that you don't have a choice if you're going to get sick or not. And maybe you won't get sick, but you don't have a choice as to who you'll infect. And we don't have a choice if they'll die or they'll live.
That's Fiona Tulip, a grieving daughter who lost her mother to COVID-19. Fiona wants to make sure her mother, a Latina frontline worker from Texas, is more than just a number scrolling on the newsfeed.
We've got to think about the people who are working and risking their lives to save our lives. And we have to remember that we don't have a choice into how this virus acts. We can't choose whether it infects us or infects someone else, and we can't choose if we stay alive or if we die.
I'm Justin Beck, founder and CEO of Contact World. Listen to Contact World, the podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be lucky than good, right? Seems to be a pretty good motto for anybody that spends any time in the sports investing universe. And for one guy in New Jersey there at our friends at the DraftKings Sportsbook, well, the Seattle Seahawks coming back last night ended up cashing a $2 parlay into just about $21,000 reality. Oof. That's nine teams. And it included, and get a load of this, and it's $2, nine teams, money lines on the Browns, Bucks, Jets, Titans, Dolphins, Vikings, Bears, the Falcons, and also the Seahawks last night. That's right. He actually put them on the money line, not even taking the points. Money lines on all of these. I'm seeing now why it was $2 that he bet, because... Just to take the money lines there is a bit of like a crazy, but it was a prayer. And I got to tell you, I can't imagine having been in front of the television, Dane, watching that game last night, knowing that I got $21,000 with Seattle just winning the game and having to go through the ups and downs of that game last night. See, that to me is why it's almost better off. Don't watch the game. Wake up tomorrow and figure out exactly if you're $21,000 richer, because that will drive somebody to drink or just lay them out of a heart attack from what we had last night in that game.
If you had the bankroll, that's an opportunity to hedge, though. Right?
Well, like $2 is that's never going to happen at $2, but. You know,
no, wait a second, though. The win was $20,000, unconditional on one outcome. Correct. So at that point, if you had the bankroll, like there were points live, you could have got San Francisco at plus money last night. Right? So
yes.
Why not? Why
I cannot believe the dude who's spending $2 on a 19 money
if
line parlay.
I said if you had the bankroll. If you had the bankroll.
I doubt they'd even have the understanding of the ability to be able to hedge. I think they played it because they happened to be by the book. Here's a couple of teams. And, you know, I doubt very much that person had any idea exactly what was about to happen there.
What I said was, if you had the bankroll, right, because this would be then a $2 better being like, oh, let me find like another $8,500 to bet on this right now. So I understand that. But all I'm saying in the kind of gambling you of it all is when you're down to potentially hitting the $20,000 and there's only one outcome left that you need, it is an opportunity, .. if you have the bankroll.
Yeah, hey, listen, if you can go borrow $10,000 from somebody and be like, hey, man, let me see if we can coordinate a deal here. I'll get you
it's
in for
be
five.
$10,000 either way than $20,000 or nothing. That's just me.
That's exactly correct. I mean, it's but again, you got to get 10. I think they calculated the odds to just about 11,000 to 1. In order to be able to hit it. Now, think about that, guys. How many of you spend money, $2 every week, on six Powerball numbers that your chances are what, Dane? What are they, 77 million to one or something for you to hit it?
Longer than this.
11,000 to one, and boom, look at what you got. And all this dude did was money line.
Nine, did you say nine?
He had nine, and he had all the – he had the Browns. What did he have? Any favorites? No, he had the Bucks.
Browns were favorites. The Browns were favorites.
Okay, so Browns, Bucks, favorites, Jets, dog, Titans, dog, Dolphins, dog, Vikings, dog, Bears, favorite, Falcons, dog, Seahawks, dog. You only had two favorites.
Wow.
That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. And then he had to watch the 49ers miss a field goal attempt. Russell Wilson throwing an interception in the red zone. I don't even know what that poor dude. You know what? He probably didn't even realize. He probably forgot about the ticket. He's probably scrambling to find it this morning.
Yeah. You know what? Also, he probably didn't realize, because you're absolutely right. This guy's throwing a $2 parlay for nine teams. Oh, it's not, you know.
No.
Hey, broken clock is right twice a day. I'll take it. Right? But here's the real critical question, Joe, and I heard you talking about it last hour. The critical question is, did this better while putting the Bears in his parlay, did this better know ahead of time that Matty Stafford would not be playing?
Yeah,
because, you know, it sounds like some people knew. And, Joe, I know you need transparency for the sports investor, right?
I can assure you. He did not know that at all.
He didn't have advance warning from the beat reporters. He wasn't following Lions Twitter.
Well, think about what happened here. Think about how much crap, guys, just so you understand. Just think about And this is why many people will say, listen, you want to do a two-team parlay, all right. I mean, you don't want to start getting into five, six, at least spending any crazy amounts of money on it, especially if you're not diving into every game. You had the Browns needed a touchdown in the final minute to beat the Bills.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers had to race back in the final couple of minutes of the fourth quarter to beat. There was nine different lead changes in that game. The Jets almost coughed it up and again had to actually in the fourth quarter pull away from the Giants. The Titans blocked a damn field goal in order to be able to pull it off. The Dolphins had to a goal line stand there at the end of the game to stave off that. I mean, you go down the list here, it's like, holy crap, dude. And by the way, a 14-point underdog. You picked the Falcons to win on the money line. On the road.
If that game wound up a tie, it reverted and he would have hit a 18 parlay, though, right? It just backs out the tie, right, on the money line.
Yes, it would have been. It would have counted right, as long as he got them all right. Exactly correct. Yep.
When he lines up for that field goal with, like, you know, whatever it was, 20 seconds left, you're like, just don't block it and return it back. Right?
I can't, dude. Could you imagine having to go through 3.5 hours of that last night of that? I was doing it
for a random regular season fantasy matchup.
I'd have been right, exactly. What would that have been for 20 grand on the line? Holy
my damn fantasy matchup. Yeah, you know, but you're right with the teasers, man. Every time if I put in a 7-team teaser, I guarantee you, Joe, I will go 6-1 on those bets. I guarantee.
Absolutely. Guarantee. Yep, that's the beauty of it. Yep, that's the beauty and the killer of it. But again, a couple of bucks here and there. Listen, at 11,001, it's better than buying a scratch off. It's certainly better than buying a lottery ticket. So if you got some sort of feeling, by all means, man. I hope they come up with the guy's name. I can't wait to hear his thought process.
Every Friday, instead of making three plays, we should put together a ridiculous, like, 16 parlay for the weekend that we both feel like, sure, we got a shot and throw $2 on it.
Do a 9-team parlay. Done. That's it. Here you go. A couple of bucks, $2. Throw it out there. I would love to hear the guy's rationale. So why did you pick the Falcons on the road as a 14-point dog? Well, I like the uniforms.
Knew that. Come on.
Yeah. I would rather not hear it, Dan, because it would just confuse me.
Brian Hill.
Yeah. It would confuse me. It would absolutely confuse me because I'd actually try to find the logic in it, and that would probably screw me up for the rest of the year. So I would rather not do it.
We'd have a 9-team teaser. It'd be 2 NHL games, a Mac game. It'd be like an NBA game, a CFL playoff game.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's throw a couple of virtual reality sports in there, and let's, just for the hell of it, hell, we'll even third the third race winner too over there. We'll do it at Mountaineer Park. Yeah. Let's do that too.
Yeah, I'm going on in there. Sure.
Ridiculous. And then we'd win it, and then that would be the end of it. We'd have to write a book about it. Unreal. Absolutely unreal. But listen, guys, better, you know, you're nothing ventured, nothing gained. You got to be in it to win it there. So don't be, the bottom line here is, don't be afraid. The couple of bucks here or there, crazier things have happened, but don't be doing that on a serious level thinking, all right, let me spend a couple of $100 here on a 18 parlay, a couple of $100 on a 19 parlay. Like, not a very good long-term strategy for profitability, guys. It's just not going to happen. But maybe this guy will lend us a few bucks, Dane, and we can figure out. Well, he's in your neck of the woods. Damn DraftKings. God damn. All right. So looking now, guys, at the playoff picture, because I think we're at that point, aren't we, here at week 11?
Absolutely.
Look at the NFC right now at the top, the six teams. If this was the end tomorrow, you got the Niners, Packers, Saints, Cowboys, Seahawks, Vikings.
Yes.
And can I tell you, that's the six cut above every, because the next level is Rams, Eagles, Panthers, Bears. So who in that bottom half do you think should replace somebody in the first half?
I still think the Eagles win the NFC East.
Okay, so you think the Eagles are still going to come back there. Well, okay, so
teams, but I will interchange the Eagles with the Cowboys. So listen, those five teams and the NFC East champion, I think, are your six in the NFC. Right. And I think that's me. That's clear cut. Those five teams.
I don't
think
there's any question there, right?
Yeah. San Fran, Seattle, Green Bay, Minnesota, New Orleans, and then the NFC East champion. The NFC East is not getting two teams in. Okay. No. Philly or Dallas is going to be it. And then I think it'll be the second place in the West and second place in the North, right? Which right now is Seattle and Minnesota. But I will say, I think if you ask me to swap one in for out, for me, it would be Eagles. It would be the Eagles still winning that Eastern division.
You'd still and again, you're to me 6.5. You're right. You know, the Eagles are probably going to win it because the Dallas Cowboys are ultimately going to underachieve as they usually do.
Jason
but
Garrett's
in the AFC, you've got Patriots, Ravens, Steelers, Texans, Bills, Kansas City, and then you've got Oakland, Indy, Tennessee, Jacksonville, and the Chargers kind of lurking somewhere in the back end there. Also, probably it's a little more convoluted, I think, in the AFC.
Well, I don't know. I see it slightly differently, Joe. I think because when we reeled off those teams in the NFC, they are all solid, like in my opinion. I think they're the class. In the AFC, to me, you got the Patriots, right? And that's going to be everyone's kind of default answer. And to be honest, my answer is the Patriots, unless one of three superhumans can do it on that day. And the three superhumans I'm referencing are Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes. If it will take Herculean MVP caliber efforts, and those three are all MVP legit choices, it will take an MVP effort by one of those three humans on a given day against New England. Otherwise, I default to Bill Belichick. I don't think Buffalo. I don't think Pittsburgh. I don't think Oakland. I don't think these teams are serious contenders. Whereas you tell me there's a path for Minnesota. There's a path for Seattle. There's a path for all those big boys. So I think that's more convoluted. To me, the AFC is Bill Belichick or one of those superhuman quarterbacks.
Yeah, but in 4 weeks, we're going to come back. And outside of Dallas and Philadelphia, it's going to be some combination of those six. I don't know that's going to be the case in 3 weeks, 4 weeks with the AFC. As a matter of fact, I'd be willing to bet big money it's not going to be exactly what it is right now. Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Houston. Listen, I don't even know. Is Houston going to win the division? Are they don't? I don't know that there's anything written in stone there. I don't know that Pittsburgh's going to be able to hold on and get a second spot from the AFC North. Why not Oakland? Why not Indy? Why not Tennessee? Yeah. Jacksonville now also still has a shot now that that Nick Foles is back. I think this could look totally different outside of the top two or three in the AFC.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think any of those other teams you're referencing are true contenders for an AFC championship.
Well, contenders are not. They're going to make the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, you know, whether they can win it doesn't make a difference. They're still going to make the playoffs. I don't know that Pittsburgh, Buffalo, are they going to make the playoffs?
They're non-factors, so they're not true contenders.
Yeah, but... Well, they're easy to make money on,
NFL
then.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRotor.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRotor.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRotor.com, where millionaires are made.
What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change. Like,
so this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly, the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
show. Tuesday loaded on the schedule tonight. 61 college basketball games set to tip off, along with 8 NBA, 9 NHL, and a couple of partridge and a pear trees here with MAC action football. Eastern Michigan action, taking on Akron. And, of course, you've got, and this is going to be a pretty good game, 6:30 tonight Eastern time, Western Michigan taking on Ohio. That is definitely going to be the better game of the two. Akron is, without a doubt, the worst football team known to mankind on any level. They are 0-9 straight up, 0-9 against the spread. They average 10 points a game. They average giving up 35 points a game. Do the math, and you realize why, while they're 0-9. But they're 17.5-point underdogs, and the money keeps rolling in, or at least the bets keep rolling in on Eastern Michigan. So why is this not 21-22? Why does it not keep rolling up? Because somebody's betting on Akron to keep that number at 17.5, when 75% of the tickets are being written on Eastern Michigan. That should be an eye-opener, because this should be well into the 20s by now, Dane, with a team this bad. But somebody got to be betting on it, man. This line's been open since last Wednesday. Why 17 still? I think we know why. Somebody thinks 17.5 for an Eastern Michigan squad who can't stop anybody either, that might be a little too many points. Plus, it's a key number, guys. That's 17.5. It's not 16. It's 17, which is a interesting combination of scores, which is what the professionals are jumping all over at this point.
You know, I have a new idea for a website or an app, Joe. For every college program, I want access to a list of the biggest boosters and donors for that organization. I want to know every school and what kind of big money is behind them. Because in a situation like this, Joe, it's obviously the big money bets that are going Akron's way, keeping the line down. So I would like to know if there's some billionaire alumni that's like, you know what? Let me just root for my squad and just happens to drop money that moves the numbers. I need to know the boosters and who's got big money back in every program.
This is just a classic case, guys, of understanding that professionals don't care what the name on the jersey is. The only thing they care about is, am I getting the right number? If I got the right number, it could be Sisters of the Blind. Don't make a damn bit of difference.
Salesforce presents a mini meditation. Close your eyes and let your video conference calls fade away. Ignore the voices drifting from your laptop. Forget how your chin looks from this angle. And focus on what really matters, your customer. On your path to customer success, focus your teams with a single 360-degree view of your customer with Salesforce Customer 360. Find customer focus at salesforce.com/360.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering 5 of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/best bets.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.